The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chapel.
Take your Bibles, turn to Acts 13, please. Acts chapter 13 for our Bible study time tonight. And we're going to pick up in the book of Hebrews next week as we have a special prayer time once again next Thursday night. But tonight we're going to look at one of my favorite portions of Scripture, and I trust it'll be an encouragement to you as well. Let's stand together, shall we, for the reading of the Word of God. Acts chapter 13, we're going to read verses 1 through 3, and we'll have a word of prayer and get right into our Bible study time. Acts 13, beginning in verse number 1, and I want to thank you for being faithful. I know a lot of you come in right from work, and some of you miss a meal, and sometimes people say, if I come, I'm going to be in my work clothes. Some of you guys are in your fatigues and so forth, and you know what? The main thing is that you're in God's house. That's the main thing. So I'm just glad you're here tonight, and I really believe we need this midweek service to help us and prepare us along the way. Acts 13:1 says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for the privilege of this Growth Point Bible study. May this tonight be a time of growth. May we learn more about faith and prayer and the work of the Holy Spirit. And I ask you, Lord, once again, that you would help us as a church to be sensitive to the moving of your Spirit. And as we open your word, may we hear and hear with a mind to obey. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, we are aware of the fact that the Bible describes the church in 1 Timothy 3:15 as the pillar and the ground of truth. And I think all of us recognize that we cannot depend on the government to lift up the truth. Though the Bible is clear that the church is to be the pillar and the ground of truth, we know that just because we live in a country that the coinage says, "In God we trust," there are many millions of people in America who probably would like to take that very verbiage off of our coins. And we live in a society where the government and the many of the attorneys in the land would say, you know what, let's take God out of society. Let's not be the pillar and ground of truth as a nation. We certainly cannot depend upon the media. We certainly cannot depend on many educational institutions. And so if the truth will be known and propagated in the society in which we live, it's going to come right down to God's plan. And God's plan has been that the local New Testament church lift up the truth, be the pillar and the ground of truth. And tonight, as we look at Acts chapter 13, we look at one of the early churches, and it is in particular the church at Antioch. And it was this church that became a great example for the early churches, one of the model churches of how God works and how he wants to work even today. This church was formed upon the persecution of Stephen when he was stoned in Jerusalem. We have studied that passage before in Acts chapter 8. We learn how he became the first martyr of the Christian church. And because of the persecution, the Christians were spread throughout the known world. And Christians found their way to this city of Antioch, where they began to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know from Acts chapter 11, verses 19 and 20, that this was one of the first churches that became a church filled with people from different ethnicity, from different backgrounds. It was unlike the church at Jerusalem, which was predominantly Jewish. This church was what we might call today an international church. And you see that in verse number 1. You see different names and people from different places, from Cyrene, and one that was raised up in the house of Herod the Tetrarch, one that had perhaps a little more nobility, others that had more of a common background. It was a church made up of a lot of different kinds of people from a lot of different kinds of places. And how many of you are thankful that the song we just sang or heard sung a moment ago about the blood of Jesus Christ reminds us that the ground is level at the cross, and it doesn't matter what your racial background, what your economic background, that anyone that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ can be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ and can become a part of His church. And that's what we remember when we study the church at Antioch. So God brought people together from different places, different backgrounds, and He brought them into this assembly called a church, and His commission is that they together would be pillar and ground of the truth, that they would lift up the truth in their day. Now, every pastor who has a call and who has a passion for the work of the Lord has a desire, and every member who shares that passion with the pastor and from the Word of God has a desire that the church would be as effective as possible in lifting up the truth. That we would be as effective as possible in fulfilling the Great Commission. And we want God to help us along the way in His fulfilling of His Great Commission. And we think about this in many different venues and ways. I was walking today with some of our staff and our church architect out here on the pad for the Commons building. And then we walked over to the North building and we were talking about how it can be converted for the children. Then we walked over to some modulars. How can we convert this for college offices? And we've got 6,200 square feet of college offices in the North that could be turned into classrooms for children, grades 1 through 4. And we have 8,400 square feet in the modulars that would give more space. And what would we make that look like out front? And who would be where? And we walked over to the pad over here at the Commons building, and I had Brother Christensen walk to one side, and I walked to the other side just to get an idea of the size of that building. The footprint of that building is 10,000 square feet larger than the room you're sitting in. It's a very, very large building. And it will allow us to have our Spanish services there. It will allow us to have church functions and potlucks and dramas instead of tearing this all apart multiple times a year. And it's just one of the most needed projects we've ever had as a church, because it allows us to take parking pressure off of one area and out to another. It allows us to meet the needs of so many aspects of ministry. But as a pastor, I pray and I say, Lord, how do we go from point A to point B? Lord, how can we as a church reach more souls? How can we see the campus develop? How can we strengthen families in a society that's just gone crazy and perverted in so many ways? And there are a lot of answers that come from conferences and seminars that deal with maybe leadership training or programming of the church and so forth. And a lot of people have a lot of man-centered ideas on how to move forward and how to make an impact. And that's why I want to bring you back to the church at Antioch tonight. And I want to speak to you about how important it is that as a local church that we have faith to trust the Lord and to walk in His Spirit. That's why this year I've emphasized that there, as in past years, there's no outside consulting company helping us as we build the buildings and as we seek God's provision. There's not even guest speakers this year that are coming in to challenge and motivate us. I've really asked the Lord to let this year be the year when, above all other years, it was just simply a matter of going to the New Testament, reading the Word of God, being filled with the Spirit, as a pastor and as a people, seeing God move His church forward and recognizing when it's all said and done, it was all God, and this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. And I really believe that God is working in a special way, but how did He work in those early churches? And I want you to look at this verse number 2 as we come to the church in Antioch, and notice it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Now, the first thing I want you to notice about the faith of the church at Antioch was the fact that this was a church that was a church of supplication. Their faith was evidenced through supplication. Now, the word supplication speaks of requests being made to God and seeking God. And this year on Wednesday and Thursday nights, we're emphasizing the matter of seeking God. There are 9 different Thursday nights where the majority of the service is just simply given to prayer. Next Thursday night is one of those. And we're emphasizing this matter of supplication. Now, the Bible tells us as they ministered to the Lord. Ministry is to be focused upon the Lord. We do not sing to one another, we sing to the Lord. We do not give to the church, we give to the Lord. I do not pray that God will help me to say things that will necessarily please the congregation, but I pray that my preaching and teaching will please the Lord, because it's all about the Lord. This is the Lord's church. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20 that He has purchased it with His own blood. And so we are a blood-washed band tonight. This is His church, and we want Him to be glorified in His church. And so I want you to see that this worship at Antioch, this supplication, was very much centered upon the Lord. And so we see in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord. When you hear the word worship today, sometimes you hear people say, do you believe in praise and worship? And what they're talking about is almost an entertainment, kind of a band or kind of an entertainment show. And praise and worship has come to be known as just kind of a gig, if you will, at the church house. But pure worship is when we're all as one focused on the Lord. And we want His will to be done, and we're ascribing worth to Him and praising Him. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. We're giving to Him. We're opening the Word because it's all about Him. Now we see in verse 2 that as they ministered to the Lord, notice what they did. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And fasted. Now, fasting brings our prayers to their fullest development. Fasting is a way of saying, Lord, I want to focus solely on You. I am setting aside the focus on myself so that I can be more focused on You. No doubt if we'll have a great victory on March the 30th of this year, there will be a lot of prayer and fasting precede this offering. There will be much prayer and fasting precede the great movings of God in revival. And we must understand that the great impact of this church, the great missionary moving that would take place from this church at Antioch, was preceded by a focus on the Lord, ministering to the Lord, and a time of fasting. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 19 says this, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence into a yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth about not but by prayer and by fasting. So churches that are on the move, and for pastors like me, and for church members like you who want to see the work of God move forward. And in this church, we have a great desire to see this ministry, this campus, be a beehive of activity, training children, training college students, reaching the lost. If we're going to move forward, we've got to recognize this kind cometh about by prayer and by fasting. And you'll see in just a moment that the church at Antioch touched the world with the gospel. We're going to see in just a moment that Paul and Barnabas, they went to Iconium and Derbe and Lystra, and from place to place on this first missionary journey, starting churches in a magnificent way. And this year, at West Coast Baptist College, for example, as we celebrate our 20th year, we will send out our 2,000th graduate. All around the world, people are going forth from this college, from this local church. Lives are being touched in different cities and different continents. But where did it all begin? It began with men and women praying and fasting and praying in that North Auditorium before it was a North Auditorium. And praying in this auditorium before there was a chair to sit on. And seeking the face of God and writing our names on the metal poles. And just seeking God in prayer. Prayer and fasting is always how God's work begins. It always begins when we come to Him earnestly. So their supplication was, first of all, noticed by a time of fasting. Now, we had fasting and times of fasting part of the revival meeting. And I would encourage you from time to time, when you've got some things you're really seeking God for, to set aside your normal meal time and get alone with God. And make sure that you are bringing your prayers to their fullest fruition through fasting. But notice, secondly, the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, ministering to the Lord in fasting also helps us to understand that they were in prayer to the Lord. They were praying to the Lord. The word ministering here speaks of fasting and prayer. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but with everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so when we think about the church at Antioch, I think about a church that sent Paul and Barnabas. How would you like to say that one of your missionaries was the Apostle Paul? I mean, that'd be an amazing thing. We've got Brother Charters here tonight, and we're proud of the Charters family, and we were proud of our missionaries. But wouldn't it be something, Brother Charters, to say, yeah, me and the Apostle Paul, we were sent out, you know, the same night. We were sent out that night. I mean, that would be an amazing thing. And this was the church that sent the Apostle Paul, who started church after church after church, and made an impact on the entire world. But someone says, where did it all begin? It all began with an international group of people from all kinds of different backgrounds who were willing to pray and fast. And God took that church at Antioch, and God touched the world from the church that was willing to pray and fast. And I'm telling you, I don't know how to get the next building built, or how to get the next neighborhood reached, or how to start the next bus route, or buy the next couple of buses. There's a long list of things I'm asking God to do this year, but I know this much, it's going to start with prayer and fasting every single time. Someone might have asked me back in 1995, how do you think we could ever from this church see a couple thousand people out soul winning and preaching and doing missions work? And how do you think we get that? I'd say, I have no idea. But I can tell you what, God's been answering some prayers in this place. Someone might say, how do you think we could ever support 220 missionaries from one single church? They might have asked that back in 1986. I would have said, I have no idea, but let's just pray and trust God, and year after year, keep trusting and committing. And you know what we have learned, and we've got to continue to learn, is that if we'll seek God's face in prayer and fasting, He can do much more than we ever dream possible. You see, when we work. But when we pray, God works. And what we want to remember these days is the importance of being a praying church. So through supplication, God began to work. Notice secondly tonight, that if we're going to be a faith-filled church, it will be a church that is making a difference through supplication, and secondly, through sacrifice. Now come back to verse 3, if you would, and notice what it says in verse number 3. We see the Holy Ghost is speaking in verse 2, separated me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And by the way, thank God for every young man that's been called and every young woman called to ministry in this church. And moms and dads, let me encourage you, always be willing for God to do whatever He wants to do with your children. Many of you held those children up here in dedicatory prayer for the Lord. And may I encourage you that whatever God wants your children to do, I've told all of our children, if God calls you to Africa, if God wants you to do something, whatever it is, I want you to do what God wants you to do. And we ought to always be thankful. And in this case, the Holy Spirit said, I want two of your best. I want Paul and Barnabas. And so notice, if you would, the sacrifice that they made. In verse number 3, it says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now let's think about the sacrifice that Antioch made. First of all, they were willing to sacrifice their brethren. They were willing to sacrifice their brethren. The Bible says they sent them away. Now I believe the whole church got involved in this. The whole church, as they had been praying and ministering to the Lord, the Holy Ghost put on their hearts, I want you to send two of your very best. I want you to send them out as missionaries to preach the gospel. And because they were praying and fasting, there was unity in the church. And because of that unity, things happened quickly. And the Holy Ghost spake. And so it says in verse 3, they sent them away. They sent them away. They dismissed them from their congregation to go out and do what God had called them to do. The whole church was involved. God had given direction to them. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. God had given power to them, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. God had given them the blueprint, if you will. And now the Holy Spirit has spoken. And so they sacrificed. Listen, not just financially here, though I believe that became a part of it. But first they sacrificed some of their best people to go out and do the work of the Lord. Boy, I thank God tonight for many families from our church involved in missions. And I think tonight, Dr. Rasmussen and his daughter and son-in-law in Thailand, and Brother and Mrs. Jones, their daughter and son-in-law in Russia. And I think of so many members of our church with children serving in different states and in different places, and God has worked on their heart. And what a blessing that this church can sow seed like that. Some of you have children in Connecticut. Some have children in Ohio. Different places tonight serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because this has been a church praying and seeking God's face, where the Holy Ghost can speak and where young people can listen and where the work of God can be done. So the Bible says they sent them away, their brethren. But I want you to think of this, secondly, their resources as well. Their resources. The fact of the matter is that Paul and Barnabas would need to be encouraged along their way. And the church would be a part of that. And to give you a little thought of how that happened, I want you to look at Philippians chapter 4 in your Bibles for just a moment. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 14. And let's get a little picture of how the early churches, by faith, touched their world with the gospel. Notice in Philippians 4:14, it says, "Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction." Sometimes in the Bible, when you read the word communicate, it speaks about giving and receiving. It speaks about, it's not just a sympathy card that they would have sent, but oftentimes they would send something in the way of support and help. Now notice verse 15. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now let's break that down for just a moment. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he says, your church has done well to communicate with me concerning giving and receiving. Time and time again, he said, you sent to me and you met needs that I had in my life. And he says to them in verse number 17, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Now, do you understand that whenever the Baloos see a soul saved in Thailand, and whenever the young see a soul saved in Africa, because our church is supporting them financially, whenever they see someone saved, there's fruit to our spiritual account. And we have a part in that, and we'll be blessed for that according to the Word of God. And so we see that this church at Antioch was not only involved in praying and supplicating, but they were involved in sacrificially sending out. And the church at Philippi was sacrificially supporting the works of their missionaries as they went about. In fact, it indicates in verse 18 that Epaphroditus, who some believe was the pastor at Philippi, had brought gifts to the apostle Paul. And he, notice what he refers to these gifts as. He says, they were an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now, even as the Old Testament priest would go in and make prayers in the holy place, in the Holy of Holies, and even as that sacrifice was acceptable unto God, the language indicates that we, who are referred to in the book of 1 Peter as believer priests, that when we worship God, that giving an offering is a sacrifice well-pleasing to the Lord. It is an act of worship to the Lord. And again, we're not giving primarily to the church or to the missionary. We're giving it to the Lord. But Paul said when they supported the missionary, when they sacrificed for the cause of Christ, it was a pleasing thing to the Lord. Now, someone says, was it a blessing to the Apostle Paul? No doubt. But God saw it. How many of you believe God sees our sacrifice as well? And God is pleased. And notice what it says in verse 19 there. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Let's say that verse together. Shall we? Ready to begin. "But my God shall supply all your according to his riches in glory." Now, as your pastor, when I go out on that big old building pad out there and I spend some time out there surveying that area and praying that God would help, When I look at something like that and I wonder, how's this going to get done? I know one of the ways. One of the ways that it's going to get done is if we're faithful to our missionaries. Because Paul wrote to a missionary-giving church and he said, now you've been faithful to give to missions. And I want to remind you, church, my God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I believe that's a promise you can claim as an individual Christian and that we can claim as a church, that if we'll have a tender heart in missions giving, that God will bless and help us in other areas of our life as well. And so how do you take the word of God from one little church in Antioch and make a worldwide impact? And how do we take the word of God from one single church on the backside of the high desert of Southern California and make a worldwide impact? I want to tell you, if we follow the New Testament pattern, first we must go to prayer and supplication. We must come to the Lord with fasting and prayer. Secondly, we must have a spirit of sacrifice. Lord, use me. Have my children, Lord. Have our church family, Lord. Use our resources, Lord. But help us to have that same spirit of the early New Testament church, the spirit of prayer and the spirit of sacrifice. And then I want you to see, finally tonight, there was a third characteristic that this church had, and that was the characteristic of steadfastness. Now, this was a church that just didn't give up. And one of the things you're going to find in church life is that there are great times and there are difficult times, and God has required of all of us one simple thing. And it's very simple what God is asking us to be, and that one word is faithful. The Bible says, it is required of stewards that a man be found what? Say that with me. It is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. It doesn't say successful. It says faithful. Now, there are a lot of things that I cannot be. I cannot be one of the soloists at this church, and you should thank the Lord for that. I cannot teach some of the classes that Dr. Rasmussen could teach. There's things that we all are limited in. There's a lot of things you can't do, a lot of things I can't do, but there's one thing we all can be, and that is faithful. It is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. And we're going to find in this study tonight that the church at Antioch was a faithful church. And I want you to notice what it says here in chapter 14, and beginning in verse number 26, as we come to this end of what is called the first missionary journey. You'll see in chapter 14, Paul ministers in Iconium and Lystra. You know, in Lystra, he was stoned and left for dead outside of the city. We've read about that before. But now we find something very interesting. And I think this is a very important principle for missions. I believe that missionaries are accountable first and foremost to the Lord and then to their local church and thirdly to a missions agency of some type. But here we get our biblical premise for New Testament missions and how the local church responded to them when they came back. Notice verse 26. It says, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whom they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now, Brother Charters, let me use you for an example tonight. The Charters are in for a few months from El Salvador. And I imagine, Brother Charters, that if you would have spent 4 years in El Salvador and come back to Lancaster Baptist Church, and there were none of us here to rehearse with all the things that God had done, it would be a great discouragement to you. Imagine that. And by the way, some missionaries, by the time they're gone and come back, sometimes the churches have disbanded, sometimes they've banded, meaning they've changed their entire church. Sometimes missionaries return and it's just not what it once was. But what we find with the church at Antioch, when the missionaries made their first journey and when they came back from what we might call their first term, the church was still there, doing what they were doing before they left, being faithful to the things of God, being excited about the missions work. In fact, they wanted to hear what God had done on that missionary journey to Antioch. So we see that in verse 27, they gathered the church together and they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And what a blessing that is. When our missionaries come and they say, here's what God is doing in this part of the world. But the reason that I bring it to your attention tonight is not just because of the faithfulness of the missionary, but because of the faithfulness of the local New Testament church. to be in their place. Brother Sisson's here tonight from the Philippines, and Brother Doug Sisson's been there for about 20 plus years. How many years, Brother Sisson? 17 years been there in the Philippines, in Mindanao, one of our missionaries, and my daughter's father-in-law, and so he's here for a few days, and we're delighted that he's here. But you know, the fact of the matter is, we thank God for faithful missionaries, but what I'm trying to say tonight, thank God for faithful churches. And we've got to hold the ropes for our missionaries. We've got to be faithful as they're away from us, faithful to the things of God. Well, notice what they were faithful to do. Just some simple thoughts. First of all, they were faithful to assemble. Now, someone says, I want to know how church works. All right, go to the book of Acts. And you're going to find how it works. Verse number 27 says that when Paul and Barnabas were returned, it says they gathered the church together. They gathered the church together. And they assembled together. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know, I really believe that we ought to thank God that we have a church that has Sunday morning, Sunday night, now Thursday night this year, midweek service, times that we can get together. And you never know when there might be a missionary to present or what special prayer request there might be or what message might really be the one that you needed. Let me just encourage you tonight. You're in the right place tonight. It's always right to assemble when God's people are assembling. And they assembled together to hear, hey, what happened over there on the missions journey? What did God do? We heard you were dead, they could have said to the Apostle Paul. And we're so glad you're alive and that you're here. And so they assembled together. And they gathered together as other faithful churches had done also. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. You see, an assembling church that's really doing the right thing according to the Word of God becomes an example to others as to how it's supposed to be done, encouraging others along the way. And so they assembled. And then secondly, we see that they reported. Verse 27 says, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. They rehearsed all that God. That means they brought back the tidings. They shared the good news. Notice what it says in verse number 27. They rehearsed all the things that God had done with them. How God, by His providence, had made a way, and how God had saved souls, and how God had kept them alive. And I'll tell you what, how we thank God tonight for faithful missionaries. But what I'm trying to say to you tonight, if we're not a faithful church, we'll not be able to support faithful missionaries. If we're not in our place, then we'll not be able to see the work of evangelism continue. And so tonight, we see three very simple attributes of an early church that we can follow after even tonight. First, supplication. How's it going to happen, Pastor? How are we going to keep sending more missionaries? How are we going to keep advancing here on the campus? And how can all of this continue to go forward? Well, it's not going forward without prayer and fasting. It's just not going to happen without prayer and fasting. Moses said, I cannot go, Lord, if you'll not go with me. I've got to have the presence of God with me. It's got to be supplication. And supplication then must be followed in our hearts by this matter of sacrifice. Lord, I'm praying and I'm seeking your will. And now, Lord, if you want to involve me or my family, if there's a way that we can be a part of it, then help us to be willing to sacrifice in that way as well. Thank God for the sacrificial spirit of Lancaster Baptist Church. I was talking with one of our missionaries the other day, and he said, Brother Chapel, he said, I just want you to know, I'm still driving the car that your church took a $12,000 offering to purchase many years ago. Still driving the car. He said, every time I turn the keys, I just thank the Lord for Lancaster Baptist Church. You see, it begins with supplication, but then we've also got to sacrifice in order to see the work of God accomplished. And I'm praying that God will help us to pray and then help us to be willing to give as we move forward as a ministry, as we reach more souls for the Lord. And then thirdly, we've got to be steadfast. Let's be the kind of church that when our missionaries come back 4 years from now, they see our faces, they see our steadfastness, they hear us still singing the hymns of God, they hear us still loving missionaries, they see us gathering in the middle of the week to pray for them. Let's be a predictable, steadfast kind of a church that God can continue to use year after year after year for His honor and for His glory. I'm going to tell you right now, you want to know how church works? Read Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. And if we'll follow the blueprint, God's plan, there's no telling what God will do in the days ahead at Lancaster Baptist Church. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time to study your word tonight. Thank you that you have taught us the importance of supplication and worship, sacrifice and steadfastness. And I pray tonight that you would help us not just to remember when we prayed and remember when we gave and remember when we gathered, but help us to do it in the present, Lord. Help us to be a people always striving to follow your blueprint.